Welcome back to Hoop Talks, you guys. I'm your host, Nora Zainab, next to the J Unit, Jelani Goodrich Reed and Justin Pooney. In today's rundown, we'll have a look at the Raptors game last night against the Bulls when DeMar DeRozan came into town. And we also saw OG Anunoby come back after his injury. So we'll dissect what we liked, what we didn't like. And at the end, we got a new little segment going. Would you rather? Gonna plug myself. So okay. Stick around for that. It's gonna be fun, guys. I promise. I have come up with the best questions. But first things first, the Raptors. Don't look at me like
debatable.
That.
Debatable. That's highly questionable.
This is not your cue to speak right now. Okay, so let me finish talking. Like I said, the Raptors finally got a comfortable, decent, not that great of a win.
I don't know if it's
day.
Comfortable.
Comfortable, decent. It would be comfortable.
It was kind of uncomfortable.
In the same area. But also because I was like, okay, yeah, you know, they had what? 10 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Mm. They were up by 5. And in that moment, usually I would sit there and be like, I mean, it sucks to say that it took me 10 seconds of the end on the five, being up by 5 points to be like, actually, I feel kind of comfortable. Because before, that was more of a leeway of a place where the Raptors could easily lose that. They came around. They had a somewhat of a decent win, like I said, against the Chicago Bulls, who are also, mind you, struggling in the Eastern Conference. But what I noticed about the Raptors was the offense and the lack of it sometimes. And what doesn't make any sense to me is, I get it. Like, you don't have a player on the court that might not be able to facilitate or see the vision of a point guard sometimes, right? Because everybody wants to go out there and get their own, get those shots up. But that's kind of when the responsibility of offense and creating plays falls on the Raptors coaching staff. So why are they consistently lacking there and not putting up great plays?
They shot 40% from the field last night, so that's one factor. I mean, I watched the entire game and stuff like that, and what I saw from the Toronto Raptors was they're very inconsistent with their shot making. And if the Chicago Bulls had any resemblance, any resemblance of offensive rebounding, this game would not have been close.
Yeah.
Would not have been close. But give the Raptors credit. They took advantage of the Bulls' small lineup. They were able to get second chance opportunities. They took advantage of the Bulls' sloppy turnovers. And they won the game. They now hold the tiebreaker against the Chicago Bulls, which will be a massive factor coming down the stretch run. Back to the offense. Again, like, their half-court offense is not good.
It's not good.
Fred VanVleet had a horrible shooting night. Again, you know, he just his first game back from, you know, the birth of his new child. So there's a little bit of rust.
Congratulations.
There. Congrats to him as well. Scotty Barnes did not shoot the ball well.
Yeah, we'll be talking
at
about
all.
Scotty,
we'll talk on that in a second. But again, there's just the Raptors offense goes through like these peaks and valleys where the dips or where there's no consistency, no fluidity, and then they're a good transition team on offense when they can get those turnovers and push the ball. But in that half-court traditional offensive set, they're not very good.
Yeah, you mentioned that transition game. Mm-hmm. I liked what I saw from Scotty in that area. He was pushing the rock and getting the opportunities, in the transition game. But the problem is, the shooting, it just wasn't a good shooting night. Let's just be honest with ourselves, right? And when you don't shoot the ball well, sometimes you might think, if you're looking at it, 52%, that's the Bulls, versus our 40, you would think that we lose the game. So thankfully, we got a win there.
They took more shots.
I know, right? And that's the thing. But I think with the Raptors, it's just, we've seen this in the past too. Colin DeMar era, what happened? A lot of Raptors fans back then were like, why are we so like stagnant in the offense? Why are we not moving, right? There's just no action. There was only Kyle would have the rock and then DeMar would have the rock. Everyone's watching. That can't work. Now, I'm saying this again. You can't have nights where it's just giving the ball to Pascal Siakam and saying, okay, Pascal, do your thing while other guys are watching. That doesn't work, right? Okay. So what I would say is, so far with the acquisition of Jakob Poeltl, right, we're seeing the pick and roll game work.
And it was working really well in the first half.
If you look at a specific game, look at the Magic game, right? VanVleet had 15 assists that game. Like nearly 10 of them came off of pick and roll action with Jakob Poeltl, right? Yeah. And that's why we wanted to bring him in, because we knew that would help our offense, right? And then last night, you're seeing that it worked. The first quarter, it was working at a high clip. Five assists came off of that PNR.
And it helped because they weren't able to stop. Vooch can't stop that. Vooch is the worst defender.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you're looking at Vooch, and I like Vooch.
There were some defensive sets where he actually showed somewhat of an effort.
Guys still score on him. That's the matchup, right? And you're talking about 2019. Remember, he was on that Magic team. That's why we won that series. We pulled the man. So. I liked what we saw there. 5 quick assists that VanVleet had in that first quarter off of the PNR. You have to use that because that draws defenders. When Jakob goes in the inside, he can kick it out if someone's open, like a Gary or someone like that. Or if Van Vliet wants to make something happen, you know, he can. We know that he's possible, you know, he's able to do that. So I like the pick and roll, but I need to see more cutting. I think the wings, they need to be moving more action. Make sure that you go baseline. You can go baseline. We saw an example of this, right? Mm-hmm. Off ball screens as well. We saw an example of this. Gary, there was a part in the game, I think it was like third quarter, for example, right? And Gary was coming in, he was in the paint, came out from the elbow. He was at the elbow, came on. Boucher, nice off-ball screen. He found right a way to go to the outside, had an open look, right? That was nice because off that elbow, Gary found a way to go inside. He drew those defenders, open look for Boucher.
The other thing about that is sometimes when you watch the Raptors play, you just see like OG standing off in the corner or Gary standing off in the top. Waiting for the ball and expecting somebody to drive and kick it out to them.
That's my problem with this team. And I don't think it also falls on, it obviously falls on the coach. It falls on the point guard that's going to be on the court in that moment. But it also falls massively on the players that are also on the court next to him because they need to move. You have to move. Like, you're not a tree. Move. There's no reason why you should be standing still and waiting for the ball to come to you. The whole point of moving around and finding the right person for the ball is so that you get yourself the best shot, not the most contested shot, not the last minute shot because you might have to check it up because you couldn't find something to go forward with. But if you're moving around, that means you're giving defenders harder time to come up and catch up to you too, right? You're making yourselves more open. You're passing the ball a lot more openly. And you know who does that super well? The Golden State Warriors. When you're watching their offense, maybe not right now, but when you have everybody there healthy.
It's like a five-man offense, right?
They're constantly moving. You're moving to go find the ball, not have the ball come find you. It's a different mindset. And I get so pissed off watching them stand there. I'm like, the whole point is to get your cardio up.
But you talk about the Warriors. It's the reason why the Warriors are four-time champs because their system is catered to the players they have. This system the Raptors run right now,
it's very interesting because
it doesn't suit what the players
because
they have.
What they
right?
have is a lot of ISO players and they have no one to connect them with. The whole point there is if you're gonna have some guys who can't get their shots up, someone or the some shot, has
shot
to go
creation.
There.
We've been talking about shot creators needed to be like they need to come to Toronto, please. We need some shot creators.
Shot creators cost high price.
And I think just the quick point on holding the ball, we cannot have the 24 clock go all the way down and then you jack up a bad shot. That happens a lot with the Raptors. That's why the shooting numbers aren't pretty.
Exactly.
That's where you're holding onto the ball the whole time. Okay, we're going to get back to Scotty now real quickly. I know you mentioned the fourth quarter and the whole game. We're going to get to the fourth quarter. I know he has a spot where he shines, but there's the first three quarters before the fourth quarter where it's a little bit rough for our guy Scotty. He has not only trouble making the plays, but finishing. I think I watched him not finish at the rim at least four or five times in those first three quarters, but he also looked visibly upset and furious, not in the sense to be putting his head down, but be more so like, come on, man, I'm better than this. I can do better. So is this something that's worrisome for Scotty right now?
I'm not too worried, but I would say the last few games, he hasn't been pretty, right? Even before this game, like we understand who Scotty is, right? He's still trying to develop that offensive bag, like we say, that offensive side of the ball. But I think a guy like him, right, we've seen flashes, okay, at times. In February, if you're looking at February, he's nearly 40% shooter. He's had four games of 40-plus from the field. So he's able to do that, but he's got to find consistency, right? That's the question. Can he be able to find that consistency, right? Last night, I wasn't happy at all. Those first three quarters were not pretty, right? So sometimes I'm saying to myself, okay, if he's at the rim, go aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. Go aggressive with it. Get yourself a foul, here and there. Or if you're in the field, can you, just take a good look, right? Get your opportunities from the field to get some score, because sometimes you just don't see it with Scotty. Mm-hmm. But last night I wasn't impressed with the first three quarters. I don't think anyone was. But I find that he is capable. He is capable of having higher shooting nights. It's just, can he be consistent?
So, Jalon, you're going to appreciate this analogy I have.
Okay.
You know, you're a big NFL guy, right? A big NFL historian, right? So, Scotty Barnes had a very Tim Tebow-esque performance. Now, before everybody with their pitchforks, oh my God, you compared Scotty Barnes to Tim Tebow. I did not. I said he had a Tim Tebow-like performance.
Why is that?
Poor first three quarters, but showed up in the fourth quarter, and the Raptors won the game.
Riveting analysis.
That's real analysis.
This is what you tune in to here.
But the fact is this. Look, when I see Scottie Barnes play, right, and we talked about it on the other show on Monday, too, when we went up against Evan Mobley, we saw a guy like Evan Mobley dominate the game. Now, he doesn't dominate the complete game, right? But I need to see more from Scottie Barnes. I expect Scottie Barnes, the reigning rookie of the year, to be a guy that can go out there and play a complete game. The Raptors need him to do that as well if they want to make a push for this sixth seed or even a higher seed in the play-in. Scottie Barnes has to be a guy that they can rely on for a full 48 minutes. And I get it. He showed up in the fourth quarter. That's great. That's amazing. But you also need to show up in the other three quarters too, right? It's just the fact of the matter is that. Well, and again, last thing before I let you go. You mentioned the finishing, right? He's got the ability. I think sometimes he falls in love with that jump shot still a little bit too much. Just take it to the rim. You're bigger than everybody. You're faster. You saw what he took on DeMar DeRozan.
He went strong to the rim.
He went strong against DeMar DeRozan, got the contact, and finished it. Yeah. That's what I want to see from Scottie Barnes. That's the Scottie Barnes that's going to become a potential all-star. Not this guy that's going to fall in love with a jump shot and play a perimeter game. Get inside the paint and use your physicality and athleticism.
Yeah. Well, that's what we saw in the fourth quarter, did we not? When he was dunking, when he was blocking, he was doing everything. He had four blocks in the fourth quarter alone. And it was fantastic to see. And I know it sucks because we didn't get to see that in the first three quarters. But I think for me, watching Scottie do this as a young guy, right? He's still in his, second year right now. Yeah. So if you're in your second year, right? And let's say you have normal players out there, younger players that get in the league and they're getting their foot in the door. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to do the best out there. They usually give their best game in the first three quarters because that's when the pressure is not that high. Right. You can kind of do a lot of things and it gets lost in the noise of the first three quarters. But Scottie brings it on in the fourth. And to me, I think that's more important than anything because it shows that even if he's struggling in the first three quarters, he's not going to let that bring him down. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be afraid of the lights. That is such a massive confidence boost to have in a young player who's not willing to shy away from those things and not feel defeated. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys think the fourth quarter is Scottie's best quarter? Where does he get that from?
Well, I think, last night I was very impressed because he gave us 8 points and five boards. Let's not forget about that. He was very active, right? We know who he can be, right? That's why he was a fourth pick in the draft.
Well, right? Was the rookie of the year.
There's so much potential here. And now you're seeing what he did on the defensive side with those four blocks. Thank you very much, by the way, Scottie. If he puts that along with what we expect and hope to see on the offensive side together, and that's the hope that every Raptors fan has. If he could put that all together, we saw the flashes in that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. He can become someone that is really special, right? And I think he's an all-star caliber guy, right? And you mentioned how he's a rookie of the year, right? Yes. And moving forward, it's going to be... Look, these are the most important games of the season coming up, right? Yeah. The biggest
stretch. LeBron James. It's, LeBron counters that one.
LeBron count at one. So now the Raptors are playing for something. They want to play for something. They told me that they want to play for that play-in playoff. Right, so you're gonna need somebody like Scottie to step up in this point, like Justin said. It cannot just be Pascal Siakam or when Fred gets hot and stuff like that, or Yakum.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a guy like Scottie. So I trust that he's going to use this game, this fourth quarter that he just had. I think that's gonna do something positive for him because he had a bad start. Right?
One thing about the fourth quarter, I want to ask you quickly, Justin. Mm-hmm. We saw that as great as Scottie was, the guy that we just acquired, Poeltl, did not play in the fourth quarter. Yes. It was Gary Trent that got the nod over Poeltl. So how do you feel about that decision from Nick Nurse?
Well, the Bulls went small, right? So you have a guy like Gary Trent Jr. who can hit the three ball like we're seeing on the screen right now. That is why they put him out there. Look, the Bulls went small. There was no really need for a traditional center out there. Mm. And I think that was just a pure matchup move. Look, Jakob Poeltl is going to play in the fourth quarter. And it's Jakob Poeltl, I know, as well. I was watching the game on the Chicago broadcast. They're calling him Jakob Poeltl.
So you got to watch on the Raptors.
You got to watch on the... I needed a little bit of variety. I needed some variety in my life.
All right, get to the point.
Anyway, I think it was strictly just a matchup-based thing because the Bulls were small. The Knicks just wanted to counter that and go small. But it worked off. The Raptors had a very good fourth quarter, although it was kind of dicey at some point. Zach LaVine started picking it up. I will say this. With the Bulls, that last possession they had, DeMar DeRozan, you have to take that shot. You have to take that shot. And he didn't. And he also missed a critical free throw as well.
Yeah. But it was really good to see Gary Trent go out there because he did have 19 points off the bench. Another guy that we saw off the bench, the Jelani, Will Barton. We just went and got him yesterday. Let go of Juancho Hernan Gomez and brought in Will Barton. He's currently averaging 7.5 points, 2.7 rebounds, and we're not here for his defense. Definitely, we're here for his three-point shooting, right? Which is 37.7 right now. It actually went down from last night because he missed his three from 38%. So how do you feel about the signing of bringing Will Barton?
I love the pickup. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that at all. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a guy, a vet. He's been in the league 10-plus years. Yeah. He's a respected veteran that could help your bench, and right? We've been talking about the bench and the depth or lack thereof with the depth. Right. And we need some guys that could help that out. And give us some juice.
He's playoff tested too. He averaged double digits in Denver for multiple seasons. Yes. And the thing is this, we talked about it. The Raptors needed a guy coming off the bench on the guard position that can create instant offense, right? And that's what Will the Barton can do. They don't call him Will the Trill for a reason.
He can shoot.
Bring some juice like that.
He can help you in terms of playmaking off the bench. So you put him with guys like Boucher, with Precious, Downing. You got something there. It's gonna be good for us. I think he is a guy that understands what playoff ball is like. Mm-hmm. And if you're telling me that you're trying to make that playoff push, That's a perfect guy.
I'm just glad that we got a shooter off the bench. That's what we needed on this team. But speaking of lack of defense, this person actually brings on all the defense on this team, Mr. OG Anunoby. He's now back from injury. And he probably will be starting for the Raptors as long as he stays healthy if he could, because I don't think his place is going to be on the bench with the Poeltl swap happening there. But the Raptors, I saw, were running looks for him in the first quarter, in the very beginning. They were trying to get him open and have his shots go up. Where do you think, how do you think he looked on his plays, first of all?
I think OG, he looked good because he was hitting, he attempted a couple three-pointers, got those off. Yeah. He got a little bit of foul trouble. Again, he was taking on the DeRozan matchup. And we know DeMar is a very good guy, attracting foul calls and stuff like that. So, again, with OG now coming back from injury and kind of working his way back into the lineup, and again, I said that OG should be one coming off the bench, right?
Yeah, I disagreed.
You disagreed with me on that. Mm-hmm. But having him in the lineup and having that defensive presence, like, he was more aggressive in this game than he was in the Cleveland game. Yeah, yeah. That was an embarrassing performance on Sunday with that lack of aggression.
Back to back.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you want a bigger role, you're very vocal about that. Go out there and prove that.
Raptors, do it for Justin Pooney, please.
Do it for me. Prove me wrong. But it was a positive to see OG, get his three-point shot going. He shot 50% from three-point range. And again, he took on the DeRozan matchup. He made DeMar's life difficult yesterday, right? Yeah. And, DeRozan can put his sneakers on and untie him and go get 26.
So quick heat check, Justin. Still mad at Masai for not dealing him. Yes. Give me that. Yes. Okay, that's all I need to hear. That's fine.
Three first-round picks.
Jelani, for you, I gotta ask you this, okay? The Raptors, as we know, offense has not been their game, their name, their anything. No. But defense has been what they're known to be. So you got OG, who's one of the best one-on-one defenders. Siakam, one of the best helping defenders. Fred VanVleet, one of the best guard defenders out there. You brought in Poeltl so he can help you with the rim protection. You have Nick Nurse, who's one of the best defensive coaches out there. So why do we still keep lacking in the defensive area? Make it explain to me.
It's a very good question, right? throughout the year it's been kind of tough, because if you're looking at the points per game allowed, it's a very critical stat. Of course, Raptors are kind of up there. They've been a top 10 team in that area throughout the year,
defensive rating,
right?
Too.
So they've been okay, but if you're doing eye tests, right, if you're just strictly watching the games, there are times where we don't close out, where there's, lapses in play in terms of the paint or lack thereof in terms of the presence that's there. Right. That's why we needed a guy like Poeltl, first of all, to really be an anchor inside, right? But last night specifically, I did like what I saw with the Raptors. Why? Because when you're looking at a guy, my guy, Zach LaVine, I am a big Zach LaVine truther. You guys know that. But we held him to 17 points, okay? If you're looking at his game log, the last
He had a good third quarter.
But if you're looking at the last six-ish games, two of those games were, at that 17-point range. Mm-hmm. But he had four where he was over, 25 points, right?
So even DeRozan, 12 points.
He's a scorer. And I was about to say that. Sorry. DeRozan, he did not show up. And why is that? Because we bothered him. We got the ball out of his hand. I think that's why he didn't really do anything, because we got the ball out of his hand, getting up into him and bothering him, hands in his face, all that sort of thing, giving him tough looks, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I liked. And also, Vucevic, right? He did get his 20-plus, right? Yeah. But those were tough, scoring points. Those were tough points, okay? They did not come easy at all, right, throughout the game. So I liked what I saw with the defense last night. That's why we won the game. I think it was that. You mentioned earlier in the show, the offensive rebounding for sure. But I loved how we forced turnovers. Those 11 steals were the difference, to be honest with you. And you're looking later on in the game, that Caruso turnover with less than a minute remaining, that was the difference. That really sealed the game, right? So I think the Raptors need to find a way to continue doing this. Get up into guys that are stars. LaVine, DeRozan didn't show up, right? They required Vucevic to do his thing
That's
to make
exactly
it close.
That's exactly what they
did. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see what happens moving forward. Yeah. We got Washington coming up. They got a few scores on that squad. Denver,
yeah, the Raptors
nature.
Have some of the, what, the fifth hardest schedule remaining
it's
in the league?
The second hardest now? After the weekend, it was the second hardest?
Now, well, yeah, they have the worst teams remaining in the Nuggets and the Celtics and everybody else out there. So it's going to be determining if we get the sixth seed or if we stick in the play-in spot and be one of the most tough play-in teams for anyone to play this season. Justin, don't roll your eyes because the next question is going to be for you. Would you rather with Nor Zainab? Come on in, ladies and gentlemen. Line up. Sit around, okay?
I am sitting.
If you guys saw yesterday, actually, Draymond Green was on the podcast saying, I don't know what possessed him to say this, but he said, if there was a choice for him between signing a $100 million contract or having dinner with LeBron James, he's going to choose dinner with LeBron James. So, guys, I got to ask you, would you rather a $100 million contract?
I can answer that question.
Oh, I know what your answer is, Bronsexual, or dinner with LeBron James.
Do you really know my answer? Look, I love LeBron James. I think LeBron James...
Just take the money, bro.
Hey, you let me explain my
piece? Spiel,
bro. Can you give me my spiel, please?
Bro.
Thank you. Look, I get why
You're
Draymond says. I get why Draymond says because Draymond already has $100 million in the bank. You know, he's got this weird obsession. I could find someone that's obsessed with me as Draymond is with LeBron. I wish that's goals right there.
So
man.
You took the money, right?
I would take the hundred. Give me the $100 million for sure.
Yeah, Draymond, that was kind of like that's not what a normal person says to a normal person at all.
Okay,
another one. Would you rather be a victim of a Siakam spin move or a Scottie dunk?
Siakam spin.
Really?
Are you trying to get dunked on?
Actually, I don't
really
get dunked on. If you got by that Siakam spin move, you might as well quit basketball, man. It's like one of the weakest moves in.
Are you kidding me? They get got by it every other day.
He had a nice tomahawk dunk.
Justin,
I've seen less spin moves.
Pascal Siakam, please duel Justin in a one-on-one and show that you can easily spin around and forget.
As long as I can say, like you say in Beyblades, let it rip.
Wow.
Guys,
that's
go
a violation. Hey,
Pascal, you've been playing great basketball this year.
At Justin Cooney _ I can send you like his email information, whatever you need to get at him because he needs to get got.
You heated up for
question that. Question number three.
Get out of the park.
Would you rather be picked last for a pickup game or miss a game-winning shot?
Miss a game-winning shot.
I've never been picked last. I've never been picked last. So, I'd go
miss
with the shot.
Because then your team trusts you to take the game winning shot.
That is true. That is true. So, and I'm not trying to get embarrassed in that draft, you know, going last. I mean,
you know how Jokic.
But that could be added motivation, though, to go out there and show out.
Yeah,
but Tom Brady.
You know, it's pride. You know what I'm saying? It's pride.
And do you even get playing time picked last?
Yeah, that's
never. Think about that. Okay, last but not least, I think this one's a little bit of a doozy. You guys out there, to comment in the comments and let us know what your pick is. Because would you rather erase Kawhi from Raptors memory?
Oh man.
Or Masai Ujiri from Raptors memory?
Well,
without Masai, we don't get Kawhi.
Yeah, so they kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
So I would. Yeah,
but then you can't have Kawhi if you're gonna get.
But
Masai.
Then okay, so but if I erase Masai and
you
I keep Kawhi,
you don't get Kawhi.
They go hand in hand. So then,
yeah, they go hand in hand. But
that's a flawed question. Right?
No, it's not because you can get anybody else.
Okay,
anybody else who's available.
What's your answer? What's your answer then?
Kawhi, because I think Masai could have gotten somebody else.
Like who?
Like
at the time, there weren't that
but
many.
But if you get somebody else, are you going to win a title though?
The whole thing is, do you trust anyone else? The point is, do you trust anybody else to take
to
that game seven shot in Philly, right?
I don't know. It's a tough question because they go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand.
Let's say it wasn't Kawhi available. It was like AD or something.
I would say for the purposes of this question, I want to keep Masai. Why? Because we were in a tough spot as a franchise without Masai. He came in and changed everything for us. Okay, so I'd go with that. Then we ultimately got Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, but here's the thing with Kawhi. Do I get the Kawhi afterwards that, you know, was like Kawhi now who
the
barely
played? The same Kawhi, 2019
same Kawhi.
Kawhi.
So it's just 2019 in a vacuum. We're not talking about...
I mean, that's the 1 year he was here.
No, but I'm saying, like, do I if I keep Kawhi, do I get Kawhi like pre-2019?
You're making this.
You
so
get him in 2018-19 season.
All right, fine. Kawhi Leonard 2018-2019 was the best player on planet Earth. Give me Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
The best player on planet Earth. Erase Masai Ujiri.
Kawhi Leonard got the
well,
title.
Well,
Kawhi Leonard got the title.
Kawhi Leonard got the title. Kawhi.
This question was flawed from the beginning.
I don't know if that's a flawed question. Let me know, because I'm trying to figure it out, but I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was a fine question. I think if you look at it separately, it's a fine question. But
you can't.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Thank you for being here today. This has been Hoop Talks. I'm Nora Zainab, Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge. I've been talking so much. I'm so sorry. Jelani Goodridge Reed, and we will see you in next time the Raptors take on the Wizards.
Yes, Will Barton's former team.
Take care, guys. See you out there.